The Word of God is alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit, of the joints and the marrow, and is a critic of thoughts and intents of the heart. All Scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Study to show yourselves approved unto God, a workman that does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. All right, open your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, page 13 of your notes. 1 Peter 2, 9. God has provided for us as believers in Jesus Christ a grace package that includes the rebound technique. It works. You got to apply it. It's a third-class condition in the Greek. You will. If you confess, then the results are always the same. For every believer, regardless of the sin, regardless of the failure, there is a place for the believer in time to recover from incidental, I don't mean to minimize it, incidental to sins all the way up the ladder. All you got to do is name it anytime, any place, and this place, this time, is very important so that you will get the information and have it clear in your thinking so you can go out and celebrate what we're looking at here in this verse with regard to your high standing. There's not a higher one for human beings than what is described here in this verse. So let's make the usual preparation. Let us pray. Well, Heavenly Father, in these perilous times, we assemble ourselves together so that we can continue on track for the upward call of Jesus Christ and that which is promised to those who are under sound doctrine and who persevere through all their trials and testing to the end. Thank you for this day, this opportunity, and this assembly. Bless our time together in Christ's name. Amen. We have the pedigree of church-age believers. As you know, and you've heard many times over and over, this is the elite dispensation. Of all the dispensations, if you could pick one, you would have picked this one. This is the thing that's the same, obviously, is the three adjustments to God. That's always there. But in this dispensation, as noted here, we are in a special category, because we live after the strategic victory of Jesus Christ and his resurrection in the angelic conflict. All the believers that lived before us were waiting for that. But now we are in union with Jesus Christ, and that means that we share everything he is. Just as in a marriage, both partners are to equally share in the relationship in time. So in Christ, this is what we are. You need to know who you are. You need to have capacity for it. There's so many things people are trying to achieve in the cosmos. It's nothing. I don't care what kind of fame. I don't care what they get. I see these people all the time just scrolling through the little thing on the opening web page. So-and-so died. Oh, this was her career. Blah, blah, blah. It's all over. You know, I'm not happy for them, but this was their life. Their life was down here in the cosmos, in some cases gaining notoriety and fame in some activity that they were in. Sports, acting, singing, wealth, all this other stuff. And it says, one of them said, see who is still alive from the cast of, and then they fill in some movie. Nobody. Now, you would like to think that maybe some of them are believers, but the odds are they weren't. But you are a chosen race, chosen or elect. And we do have the word race. Play the race card. You are a chosen race. A royal priesthood. Not just a priesthood, but a royal priesthood. That's something brand new, that you would combine both priesthood and royalty in one. Well, it isn't. Excuse me. Let me back up. There is an instance of at least one royal priest. He wasn't Jewish. He was Melchizedek. And he's the one that Abraham paid tithes to. He was the king of Salem before it became known as Jerusalem. You know, the Salems that are in the United States, starting from Oregon and going across where the eclipse went back in 2017 and crisscrossed the United States. In that year, the towns, seven of them, Salem, 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 Oregon, all the way to South Carolina. Now, there are other Salems, like, you know, the famous one with the witch hunts and everything. And this one, tomorrow, coming up from Texas, or from Mexico, through Texas and across, certain cities will be hit dead on, like Cleveland. And it goes through the towns called Nineveh, or close to them. Doesn't have to hit them directly, but it's close to a series of towns called Nineveh. I'm off subject right now, but you will forgive me, won't you? What are the chances of that? So what you have is a big X across the United States after tomorrow's over. And we have a verse. The Bible tells us in the beginning, in the creation account, that the sun, moon, and stars would be for, among other things, for signs. Signs. There was a sign before Jonah showed up in Nineveh. There was a sign. A big solar eclipse went right over them. They can document this based on the date. I'm not going into that. And these were the portents to the Ninevites that something bad's going to happen. Really bad to you. God was going to completely overthrow Nineveh, the Assyrians. And into town comes this reluctant prophet who has a bad attitude, but he has the right message. They listened to him, and God called off, to use the expression, the dogs. And they went on to exist for another 130 years as a civilization. I think it was that. So these are signs. And as I have said, as we get ever closer, month by month, to the rapture, stuff's going to be popping all over the place. And it is. Not just here, but around the world, all over the place. The intensity and the frequency of earthquakes. A rare one hit and shook the UN building in New York while they were in conference. They need to be shook. They got shook. Somebody sent me a deal. There was an earthquake in 1811 in the United States that is beyond our comprehension. It was like an 8 on the scale. This one up in New York, this one out east was 4.8. And every time you go up a number on the Richter scale, it is a lot more intense than just some number. And this one hit the United States at 1813. Rivers went backwards. Lakes disappeared. Islands went down. Others came up. Oh, it was just... someone sent over thanks. I got this. This commentary was being put out. You probably know who he is. The commentator had a distinctive style, Paul Harvey. Yeah. He documented this. You can probably run it down on the TikTok. I guess it was TikTok that they gave it to me. So all I'm saying is I'm stirred up. I am stirred up about where we are at this point in history with the warfare in Israel going on and the enemies and all of this, wars and rumors of wars, other places having earthquakes. There's buildings that look like this in Taiwan. They got hit real good, and this isn't going to end. The frequency and intensity of the birth pains are going to continue to increase, and with all the rest of it. And as I've said over and over, the United States cannot continue on the path it is and be anything like what you and I have lived to know. Nothing. You can't have invasion with all these people coming in. Our politics is completely eat up, corrupt. It's like they want to destroy it rather than that they're just incompetent. This can't continue for years. If the United States is going to be this economic powerhouse, importing stuff from all over the place, you can't continue like this. That's why the rapture here. And I think the crossing of, everybody knows what a cross means. Crossed out. Everybody. The fact that a lot of people won't get it doesn't matter. It's still a sign of the impending doom that is specified in our long-time taught doctrine of the U.S. and prophecy. So if you got any plans, you need to plan them around Bible doctrine. And like I said, until the trumpet blows and the shout comes out of heaven, you still got a chance to get under it and stay under it. Okay, you're being tested. Okay, this is going on. You're not the first. I'm not trying to minimize it. I'm being tested. I've been tested as a pastor teacher. So, anyway, but here is our destiny. You are a royal priesthood. How about royalty? A lot of royalty is corrupt. We got it on the earth today. They got what they call in Italy, the black nobility. It doesn't sound good, does it? And then that mess that's in England that we so just, every time one of them sneezes, we got to have something about them. And they're corrupt. Not all royal systems were corrupt. But all this corruption, I noticed that it says Great Britain is firmly against Israel. I was tallying up the nations that are going thumbs down on Israel fighting a just war when these terrorists came in. Do they not know what a terrorist is? And butchered these people. And I mean that literally. Babies, women, old people. What they did to those deal on October the 7th. Then there's this other factor going down. We'll see. The ashes of the red heifer and the upcoming temple. And those five female livestock were taken from Texas. They were bred specifically so that maybe when they grew up to be three, Leviticus 19, there wouldn't be another colored hair on them. No white, no black, just all red. Head to toe. They say they've got it. They've got the altar built. They can't. Obviously, the temple's not built. So all that is getting ready. They've got to get, the Jews say, in their history, they have had 10 red heifers. They sacrifice it, they reduce it to ashes, and that's how they consecrate the temple before they can do anything in it regarding the old ceremonial stuff. So that's out there. That's going on. Maybe part of this attack was this realization in the angelic conflict that they're going to build that temple. And they got everything ready to go. It's like everything's waiting over here. We just got to assemble it. They've been doing research for years to get it just exactly like it is supposed to be from Solomon's temple forward. So, okay. Just wanted to refresh you on that. And all these crazy people going to run down there to see an eclipse. You couldn't get me near there for money. What the things that can happen. More type stuff is going to come down. It's a perfect recipe for a terrorist attack. I don't know. I'd stay so far, star away from big crowds and all that stuff these days because all that goes down in these places. But you're a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession. So that, the result clause, so that you may proclaim, that means you open your mouth and talk, so that you, in witnessing, in sharing with people doctrine, as you get opportunity, we don't run around and collar people, but if we see an opening, you know, if you see an opening, and you're talking to somebody, you'll see if they, oh, that's interesting, or they want to know some more. Because you, who have been here, you have this doctrine in you. And you are to proclaim the truth as it is fitting to a circumstance or a topic that is at hand. I don't meet a lot of outsiders. I mean, I go to a few places, you know. A restaurant, a barber shop, that's about it. And if I get a chance to witness and say something, plant a seed, here it is. I don't get online and try to push. I'm already online, okay? I've been online for a long time with a web page, and now this. And so the information's out there. Any seeker, anybody that says, I want to know what's going on and I want to find out what the truth is. Because all the talk out there is, there's all these forums out here. One of them's called Rapture Watch. And yeah, they got it right. There's going to be a rapture and a tribulation and everything. But then they get other stuff skewed up. They just grab verses and they don't have a timeline right and they throw this stuff around. But that isn't, you need to report stuff as it truly is to the best of your ability. And Israel's going to survive. But getting there isn't going to necessarily be pretty. Oh, it's going to be something else. That little tiny nation as compared to the land that they now occupy, that little nation is going to survive being ganged up on through this thing by the nations of the earth. God is the one in control and nothing will happen. The whole Muslim terrorist organization and them, they want Israel destroyed. They want to have another nation next to them because they have an ideology that calls for killing all Jews. And I'll throw in Christians. So you can't have any peace, you can't have any agreement with that kind of people. Israel's tried to be nice to them over the years. But terrorists come in there, some young girl with a backpack with explosives in, blows herself up. That's their religion. Their false religion. Firing missiles, then with this attack, keep praying for Israel. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Jerusalem, ultimately, of all the real estate in Israel, that's the ultimate prize. But they're not going to get it. The Gentiles will trot it down. This will happen, even up to the Antichrist coming in there and making a treaty with the Jews and pretending to be the Messiah and saying that he's going to protect them from all these people and he will have a good track record in the first half of the tribulation because he'll defeat everybody that comes in front of him. Bam, bam. There's going to be drawn out affairs with him. It's going to be blitzkrieg. He's going to knock them down fast. And people will be running around that are Alexander saying, who can make war with the beast? That's exactly what they will call him. Well, I know who will. It's called the Lamb. The two don't go together, do they? A lamb wiping out a beast. This one will. And that's why that's how Christ will be referred to. He'll get, in the general vernacular, he'll be called the Lamb of God. And because of the two witnesses, he will be called, he will be designated as the Lamb. And they will proclaim Christ, just like John the Baptist did. Behold, here Jesus comes out in his, you know, in his humble state, first advent, to the audience that happened to be there on that day at John's baptism. Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. John was totally, his cousin John was totally squared away. And the two witnesses, Moses and Elijah, they're going to be in that same wilderness. People will try to kill them. They're bulletproof. They can't. However, what God uses. No assassins can come out. Professional assassins or sharpshooters or whatever. Snipers, whatever. They won't be able to get them. They're just protected for 3.5 years. Bringing environmental judgments around to generate more hate on the part of the nations. Anyway, so that you may proclaim the excellencies. The word excellency is only found 4 times. And of him who has called you, you Gentiles, in this case to the audience here, out of darkness into his marvelous light. He's writing to believers in that part of Turkey, as I told you, in the beginning of the opening of this letter. All right, let's move down here in our notes to point 26 on page 14. That's where I marked that I stopped Wednesday. The second designation of honor is royal priesthood. It follows exactly the Septuagint of Exodus 19:6. The Hebrew of Exodus 19:6 has a kingdom of priests. So it's a takeoff from that. Israel as a nation was a priest nation. A priest is someone who ministers to others spiritually. A true priest. I mean, we have fake priests, obviously. But a genuine priest, they had pagan priests, we have Catholic priests, we got all that. No, this is all you believers to whom I'm writing is a kingdom of priests. Israel was the priest nation to the nations. They were to be the lighthouse to the pagan nations. And anyone out there that was curious and a seeker, they could hook up with Israel, their people, and get the truth. Get the way of salvation right. And there were those that did. Non-Jews. The entire nation of Israel was a priest nation. Hosea 4:6. But within the nation was a select group of individuals who were designated for their careers were set out from birth. If you were born in the tribe of Levi, you don't say, I'm going to be this and this. You are going to be trained up to be a priest and minister to the general population of the Jews. But you certainly weren't royalty because that isn't the royal tribe, Levi. Levi is the priest tribe. Moses was a part of that tribe. So is his brother, the first high priest, Aaron. And that whole line of them all the way down. So, the specialized priests to the nation at large were from the tribe of Levi. This selection process took place at Sinai in the giving of the law. The designation royal priesthood has special meaning to the church, as our priesthood is after the order of Christ's priesthood, which is after the order of Melchizedek, who is both a priest and a king, royalty. That you can all read about in Hebrews 7. He is a priest after the order of Melchizedek, the king priest of ancient Jerusalem. 34. Via positional sanctification, that's our diagram up here, we share his order of priesthood, making all of us who have believed in Christ from Pentecost to the rapture, royal priests. So whether you like it or not, you're royalty. And as royalty, you ought to act like royalty. People that are in royal situations, they're trained Everything from table manners up the ladder. How to talk. How to carry yourself. How to dress. Etc., etc., etc. That was the royal families of history. That is generally what they did. Christ is royalty derived from the fact that he is God. And he is a descendant of the house of David. So he has royalty on two fronts. The Bible says, God is a king. That's royalty. He rules over all because of his attributes. He naturally is royalty. And since he has a lineage that can be traced, the genealogies in Matthew and Luke, we can trace his family tree back to King David. And permanent kingship was established in the line of David. And of course, the last king in the line of David was none other than Jesus Christ. Now, he didn't come on the scene as a king. That doesn't change the fact that he is a king, was a king. From his birth, I'm talking about his humanity, from his birth forward. He was born into a peasant family who did manual labor. The Jews should have known that the lineage of Mary and Joseph. It goes back to David. We fully share his priesthood and royalty. 37, as his bride, another analogy, we share his royal status and destiny. Revelation 1:6, 5:10. 38, the third designation, holy nation, follows royal priesthood, just as it does in Exodus 19:6. You are to be a holy nation among the nations, set apart unto God, and what makes you holy is your adherence to God's plan, the law of Moses in particular. Learn it and live under it, which they often didn't do. Lots of criticisms are given to this day about Israel. Oh, those Jews. They did this or this one did that. Oh, so what? That has nothing to do with the final outcome. The ones that are unbelievers and corrupt, they'll share the same end as any Gentile that's an unbeliever. And so as a race scattered among the nations by God, and they're being returned to the land by God. The shepherd that scattered them is the shepherd that's returning them to the land. It's a drawn-out process, obviously. But in that process, they clicked, became a nation again. They are a nation, occupying real estate that God promised to Abraham's descendants. So they can run around all they want to and say, oh, there's a lot of conservatives that are very anti-Semitic. They badmouth them. I can show you some of them. They say good things about politics and what's wrong with America and blah, blah, blah. But they don't have any Bible doctrine. And there are those under the Christian banner that say God is completely done with Israel. The church has replaced her permanently forever. No. There has been a replacement. This person has been subbed into the game. This one has been benched for legitimate reasons. But that one that is benched will be brought back in at the right time. There will be a generation, and they're on the earth today. The ones that come out of the United States, the vast majority of Jews keep track of where they're at. In Israel. They can tell you name a country. They can tell you how many of them there are in Russia. There was a terrorist event against a synagogue in Germany. It was in the news. They didn't do much damage. Didn't hurt anybody. And the Jewish establishment there is talking about, we better get to Israel. Yeah, you ought to. And when you get there, you ought to become a believer so that you can ride out this tribulation and really shine before God in a time that's off the charts. There's never been a time before, and there have been some bad times and some difficult times on this earth. There's never been a time like the 7 years. I can't even wrap my head around all of it. I can read Revelation. I can study it and teach it. But I can't comprehend some of these things. When every mountain goes down, and every island, which is nothing more than the tip of a mountain, Hawaii's gone. All of them. And there's some big islands. Water all around them. The whole topography of the earth is going to be changed in preparation for the kingdom. There will be no, high, lofty mountains. They're going down. The high, lofty mountains were brought into existence at the time of the flood. Psalm 104. So God is going to show His power over the nations. And the storm is building. It is building. So if you're out there listening, you need to pay attention. Really, pay attention. Make the salvation adjustment and then get on track with the directive will of God for your life. Oh, that's all I can say to anybody. Israel, as you know, officially became a nation at Mount Sinai. Before that, they were a race of people, but they were not divine institution number four. Nationalism. God has established nations. It's in the Bible. I give you verses. God raises up nations. He takes down nations. He brings them into existence. There's a verse in Psalms. Nations have become extinct at His hand. Israel became a nation at Sinai. What do you have to have a nation? You have to have three things. You have to have a law code. So everybody knows what the ground rules are, from the leaders down to the average person. That's why the Constitution, Bill of Rights, should be a major course in all public schools, but it isn't. Oh, they give some lip service to it and a little bit of an aside. Nobody gets into it. So that you students can go out of here and see when rulers and officials are violating this code. Because if you don't have a cohesive law system that you follow, it's just everybody for chaos. You have to teach the Constitution. Not just basic history, well, we did this and this and this. What's in it? It's like the Bible. What's in it? You have lip service to the Bible. It didn't do you any good if you're not a student of it in the right environment. The next thing that you need enough people to justify a nation. Israel had enough people at Sinai. Around 2 million. Then you need real estate. The Canaanites had it. It was sitting up there. They were going to be evicted. It was a long, drawn-out process. That's what you have to have a nation. God is the founder of nations. He raises up nations. So you have the different races, the different ones within the categories of the sons of Noah. So, we are, okay. Israel became a nation at Sinai, 40. As God's holy nation, we are to take the gospel and the teachings of Christ to the nations of the earth. It's called the Great Commission. Go out in the world. This would be going to be a process where, and that's Christ gave after His resurrection, the Great Commission that we are to evangelize, we are to baptize, and we are to teach them all that I have left you with. That's what we're dedicated here to Maranatha. And I'm not going to pull any punches to make anybody happy. I want to please God, and if you're pleased with it, great. Don't think I don't pray about all this through my ministry. I've prayed There's something I don't know. Oh, there's going to be some detail in the Bible I won't get straight. I don't expect every verse to just... But I expect the major doctrines to be in place. And so I'm told, if you lack wisdom, you don't presume you don't. You lack wisdom, you pray for it. Get me on track with the mind of Christ. I'm not here to please people in that way. I'll do everything I can to help anybody. I don't care when, how, circumstances of your walking through those doors. And I believe the general congregation here will be just as supportive in every way. Nobody's going to look down and say, well, you... No, we don't do that. Well, some do, probably, but... You get the same love, the same care, regardless. And we will help you spiritually in any way we can. You got to do your part. And that's what we all have to do, is humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God and move forward. If you total your nice car, you don't sit there and cry over it. Oh yeah, it's a pain. You look, oh, I'm alive, okay. I guess I'll have to go get another one. I'm not going to spend time worrying about it. Okay, the qualifier holy denotes both position and conduct, as in holy priesthood of verse 5. 42, as such we are members of a heavenly citizenship. Philippians 3:20. And this fits in. As Christians, we are to be good citizens and pray for the establishment rulers. Sometimes that's kind of hard when you look at some of them. Okay, but I know, God, you can use a corrupt person to do things. You control the heart of the king. So we're to be good citizens. We're to live in the right way before our fellow man. But our citizenship's in heaven. We are aliens and strangers. Because for the general population, we don't speak their language. I'm talking spiritual. We don't speak their language. So much that they say is predicated on human viewpoint. And we're strangers, like the Jews in captivity, wanderers. We're headed for our permanent home. So it's like, well, I lived in this place for 3 years and I came back. That'd be an illustration, maybe. Philippians 3:20. Each believer has a dual citizenship. The one temporary, the other eternal. I forgot what that is. Acts 22. Got the wrong chapter. Well, I don't know why I put this one in here. The commander answered, talking to Paul. See, one of the things, the commander came and said to him, tell me, are you a Roman? And he said, yes, this is Paul. I'm a Roman citizen. Not a Roman in the strictest sense of the word, but yeah, I'm a Roman. Like somebody comes to you and say, are you an American? Yeah, I'm an American. The commander said, I acquired this citizenship with a large sum of money. You could purchase citizenship in the Roman Empire. That's how I came to be a citizen. I put up a large sum of money so I could be called a Roman citizen with all the rights of a Roman citizen. Oh, there's a step beyond that. And Paul said, but I was actually born a citizen. That's superior. But they're both citizens. Okay. It's some interesting things. Paul would use this on these people. Because they just thought he was a non-citizen. They could treat him any old way they want to. Once he got beaten, and when they found out he was a Roman citizen, to get beaten without trial and all that, they were scared. I mean, they did have that down pat. And he used it to his advantage, even though it hurt. It's interesting to study Acts and how Paul interacted with the government authorities, because you know that God said when he called him to apostleship, I'm going to put you before kings. Who's this little guy down here going to have an audience with kings and rulers all the way to the top, Caesar, and the top officials and people in these towns and places he went? God, they normally wouldn't give him the time of day, but they had to. Things happened. God will get his word before people if they're out there, and use whoever he uses. If there is a conflict, the latter takes priority. Render unto Caesar what's Caesar's. Render unto God what's God's. And if there's a conflict, Caesar wants you, as they did periodically, to go to some town and throw incense on a deal, a pagan thing, with regard to the quasi-deity of the Caesar. No. I don't engage him. I can't do that. That's where I draw the line. You cannot tell me what I got to believe about God and his plan. You can't dictate that. You would have the right to resist the authority under those circumstances. We are a kind of supra-nation amidst the nations. Our destiny is to be the ruling elite on earth over the millennial nations. So how does that pan out in the millennium? You and I are going to rule and reign with Christ. You'll have a position in the kingdom. One person will be over one city, one will be over 10 cities and whatever else, according to your status as a believer in time. You'll have a position and you'll supervise over the nations, because they're regular people. I say regular people. They are people with a sin nature, have to make the salvation adjustment, and they can act up, commit crimes, and do various things. And you're to see that all this stuff is run right. Look how bad so many places in this country. It's just a mess how they're being run. Chicago. I'm not picking on them, but Chicago. The mayor says, I think we can take in another 700,000 immigrants. You don't care about your own citizens, your own people, your own hardworking people who have been there for decades, and their family and their parents before them, and built this up, and then you just let these people come in here and trash the place out. You don't care about the people. Our leaders, a lot of them, they do not care about the general population. It's sad, but it's the way it is. So it's clear to me that verse in the prophecy in the literature dealing with the fall of the United States. It says, all the foreigners in your midst will become like women when the nukes come in. And I was thinking back in the day, I was thinking, well, that just refers to the fact that we're a melting pot, and we're made up of we're the only nation on earth, and certainly the only powerhouse nation on earth, economically and otherwise. We're the only one on earth that can say our population all around here is built on immigrants. I got some old photographs online of the early immigrants coming into Ellis Island, even before the Statue of Liberty was set up. It got struck by lightning the other day. Did you know that? Statue of Liberty. Right up there on this deal, right there. This bolt's coming right down on it. I saw one some years back, the Washington Monument, the obelisk. I get tongue-tied on that one. The lightning came straight down on the top of it. And there's a verse in the Bible that says, God directs the lightning bolts. And I don't think it's a good omen. I just can't see it as a good omen. I'm old, I'm for you. No, I don't think so. That Statue of Liberty and that massive base that is sitting on, not just the stuff right under the feet of the thing, but the big round thing that all of it sat on. An angel is going to pick that up and flip it into that deepest trench in the Atlantic Ocean and make a speech. This is what Americans after the rapture are going to see. You'll be without excuse. The directive will of God for you is to pack a small bag and get out of here. I don't care what it costs you. Leave your house, leave your this, leave your... Boom. Or die in this Holocaust. The worst thing about it isn't dying. The worst thing is you're out of the will of God. Now, if there's a person that physically can't do this, that's a believer, they're off the hook. They'll just die in the Holocaust. But they'll die with honor. People say, what about somebody that's in a hospital and can't move, walk, or anything? Well, then, okay. God will take care of it. He's fair. He's just. Race, nation, priesthood, and people are timeless and familiar designations. 48. The fourth designation, a people for God's own possession. This phrase, together with the whole clause that follows to the end of verse 9, is an adaptation of Isaiah 43:21 of the Greek version, translated, my people whom I preserved to tell forth my praise. That just gives the Greek. The New 51, the New American Standard read, the people whom I form for myself will declare my praise. People means human beings made up of a group who are united by a common culture, tradition, and normally have a common language, institutions, and beliefs. A nation that's all fragmented is not good. And I'm not against somebody. They're not real good at English because they came from, you know, like the wonderful cleaning ladies that we have at our house from South America. They communicate well enough, and they still talk to each other while they're working in the house, and I don't know a thing they're saying. But they have a good time. They work and talk constantly. I'm very pleased. I was blessed to get them. Okay. They form an aggregate of human beings. The King James Version, peculiar people, is wretched, as it does not communicate the essence of the noun possession. The noun possession occurs with a preposition and has a future look, for a holy as does holy priesthood. The noun means property or possession. Okay, let's take our coffee break here.